Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. My guest today is David Lee Martin. Now, he has spent over 20 years planning and pastoring churches, but a little over 7 years ago, he and his wife shifted over into helping other Christian believers become successful in the business-oriented arena by starting a Christian publishing company called PureRead.com. And he has generated over a seven-figure income in Amazon royalties simply from short Christian fiction books. Amen. David also coaches Christian authors and artists and entrepreneurs to share their knowledge and experiences with the world through books and courses and memberships, which you can find at davidleemartin.net. Now, David has just published a new book titled God's Call to Christian Creativity and Entrepreneurship. Now, today, David is sharing that each of us, you, me, and all other believers, have the DNA of God inside of us, which means we have a creative DNA. Amen? This interview with David Lee Martin ended up being a three-part interview. Praise God. So if you missed any of the prior episode, go back and catch up. I don't have time to replay all that David shared yesterday, and you definitely don't want to miss it. Amen? All right, let's jump back into the interview now with David Lee Martin.
And that goes to my next question. Yeah. You say all of us have a type of creative DNA as children of God. Can you explain that for us?
Yeah. The scripture is so clear that when God created everything, I mean, I actually love that, the creation narrative right there at the beginning. You know, I often think of it like if I walk into a party, you know, and if you go to kind of some social gathering and you meet someone for the first time and they put their hand out, you shake hands. And, you know, certainly for guys, I'm not sure like necessarily how women work this one, but we usually ask, well, what's your name? And then that's swiftly followed by, what do you do? Right, you know, that's right. That's the usual entree. And right there at the very outset, we find God walks into the room. We spot him over the way. We go over, we put our hand out and we say, hey, what's your name? He says, in the beginning, God. Okay, I'm God. What do you do? In the beginning, God created. And his first introduction is, amen. Hey, I'm God. I'm the Almighty. I make things. Amen. And then you get this beautiful poetry where God relates how he brought the universe into existence. And it's punctuated. Like there's seven or eight times throughout that first chapter where he says, wow, this is good.
Amen. Yeah.
Whoa, amen. This is amazing. He says, and it was good. Yeah. And I love that. And I think that that's got so much to teach us, even like we've just been relating. You know, sometimes we should be appreciative of what we bring. We should be, we should recognize the fingerprint of something bigger than just our own genius or our own understanding in the things that we make, because it's not just us at work. And you know, of course, the crown of that creation story is God creates mankind, male and female. He created them in his own image and likeness. He said, man, I want someone just like me.
Amen.
I want someone who can take something invisible and make it visible. Amen. I want someone who can conceive something inwardly and bring it to pass outwardly. Amen. And that's really the action of faith. You know, in Hebrews, where it talks about that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the dream that you carry in your spirit, the desire that God has planted within you, whatever that may be, you know, is something that is pregnant with a power bigger than yourself.
Amen.
Yeah. And I just believe that that's I guess what I refer to when I talk about a divine DNA is that, right, wrapped into the very essence of being human is this ability to create, to bring things into existence that previously did not exist. I mean, they do in the invisible, in the spiritual world, but how incredible that we can then act as conduits to make something happen. I mean, you've brought radio stations into existence, podcasts into existence. You're ministering to thousands of people, bringing value and to their lives, substance to their lives through what you're doing here on this show. That at one time existed as nothing more than a seed, tiny invisible seed of an idea.
Amen.
That God planted within you, and taking that word, taking that instruction that he gave you all those years ago, has produced this orchard of trees.
Yeah.
That are now, I mean, I say to people, you know, I believe in fruitfulness. Go forth, be fruitful, multiply. But I often remind people, you know, it's a tree is not designed to just bear fruit. The purpose of the tree is to bear another tree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so much, I think, of the heart of Christ and so much of our, and so much of the heart of a disciple becoming a discipler is that it's not enough for me to see the kind of success and fulfillment that I was reaching for. Mm-hmm. I must become not just a fruit bearer, but I want to become a tree bearer. Amen. I want someone else to write their book.
Yeah.
So they can bear fruit and their readers can then bear fruit, et cetera, et cetera, or a course or a podcast or whatever. So that's really the heart that burns in me.
Amen. Is the entrepreneurial call into marketplace ministry something unique to only those who have a gift or training for writing books and things like that?
I think the entrepreneurial call, Robert, is not for the faint-hearted, if I'm honest. You know, it would be wrong for me to say that it's for everyone.
Okay.
And as well, I think sometimes we can glamorize the, like this idea of certain, like certain callings that are maybe more glamorized than others or more valuable than others. But when you get that entrepreneurial itch on the inside, when you begin to kind of ask those questions, wow, could I maybe write a book? Could I maybe create an online course? Or could I start a podcast? I think it's when we begin to ask those questions that's like the alarm bell, if you like, that's saying, hey, maybe take some time to listen to what you're asking here, because where there's a question, there's usually an answer and Amen. Some opportunity to be equipped to accomplish what we want. But at the same time, the reason I've answered that way, Robert, is I never want to kind of never really want to downplay that there is also incredible value and incredible benefit that people can bring in whatever, whether they're employed, whether they're entrepreneurial, etc.
Right.
It's just a certain bent of the heart mm-hmm. that moves us into that entrepreneurial sphere.
Amen.
Well, I hope that wasn't too roundabout. No, I apologize. No,
that's good. Yeah. Because, you know, I always say every believer is called into some form or fashion of ministry. You know, you're either called to go, called to help those that go, the helps ministry, or called to send those that go. So you may not be called into the fivefold ministry, but your calling is to help support the outreach through your offerings yeah. and things like that. So everybody yeah, yeah. has a call. So yeah, that makes sense. Not everyone is called to be an entrepreneur. Not everyone's called. You may be a factory worker or a doctor or a lawyer or whatever, but you're supporting other outreaches that do help other people, such as your publishing
yeah.
company.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a real, the entrepreneurial life is a little bit kind of stepping out of the boat on numerous occasions, because really you are putting your ideas out to the world, and they don't come with like a little tag on saying 100% guaranteed. You know, it's like I still get no. I mean, I've done many successful online products, as you've alluded to, the publication side of things that I've done, various live events, et cetera, et cetera. And I still kind of come with some level of trepidation when I'm like putting something new out to the world, or bringing this baby that I've kind of had growing in my belly, and it's finally been kind of birthed into a book or some kind. And I put the book out there, but I still feel as though it's this like precious little child that like, oh, do love me, do like me, you know, do accept me. It's a funny thing, German. It's but yes, at the same time, I don't think I could live any other way. You know, it's too exciting, too enjoyable. And it allows me to meet people like you.
I appreciate that. Out of the 600 published works for your company, how many of those did you write personally?
I've probably written over 100 books.
Amen. Amen.
And like I say, in that I follow a process and teach a process called KISS, keep it short and sweet. Mm-hmm. Or keep it short and simple, whichever one you like. Yeah. It doesn't include anything about stupid. So keep it. Yeah. You know, because it's the way that people consume content now has changed dramatically.
Yeah.
Short form content can be extremely powerful. And actually, sometimes I'll come to a book and I'm like, oh, man, 400 pages.
Yeah.
Give me a break. You know, like I'm like, I've got a life.
Yeah.
You know, tell me in 50, you know, like give me the bullets, you know, or whatever. Where some people think it's like a big undertaking to write a book, I can promise you it's not. It doesn't, or it doesn't have to be. Mm. You know, I've encouraged many people, you know, if you've got an idea for a book that like packs in all of your ideas, so you've got 10 big ideas that you want to put into this one book, make 10 short books.
Amen.
Cover one idea thoroughly in each one, and generally you can cover one idea thoroughly in under 100 pages.
Amen.
And just come at that one idea from different aspects. Make sure that it really lands in the heart of the people that you're ministering to. Because that's really all a book is just like remote ministry.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that we today can reach the uttermost parts of the earth without ever leaving our laptop is quite an incredible thing. It's still mind-blowing to me. Amen. I mean, we connected through a guy. I'm in the UK. You're in the States. We connected through a guy in Australia.
New Zealand.
That we happen to kind of have just kind of come to know through email and different means.
Yep.
And so this, people talk about a global village.
Yeah.
And it really is now that the opportunity that people have to share their wealth, their inner wealth with others. And then as a result of that, by God's grace, maybe begin to then generate and create wealth in the typical sense of the word, as I've been able to with my writings and courses, et cetera, is quite unprecedented.
That's true. And let's talk about how-to books and fiction books for a minute. Does either one of these author types have to have some special skills or training to do the how-to books or fiction books?
I think with fiction, what I really encourage people to do, because I mean, interestingly, although I run a fiction publishing company, Christian fiction publishing company, I largely have other people write those books for me. I come up with the ideas and commission far more talented people than I to actually make those books a reality for me. Okay. And then I publish them under various pen names. Nonfiction, I tend to write myself. The key with fiction for me, or the key to the success that I've seen in fiction, has been recognizing that, and this may sound like so simple, it may even sound stupid, but, you know, really fiction readers are just looking for a great story. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot of people get tangled in the weeds of thinking they've got to have plots and subplots and character sheets and everything else. And they just get caught in this big web of what they think a book needs to be. Amen. But I mean, if you can tell a story, you can write a great fiction book. Mm. And the key that really tips that fiction book from just a hobby into potentially a business is researching the market well enough to know what readers are looking for. Okay. In the business, it's just really called writing to market. Okay. And within any given subgenre, there are certain kind of storylines, characters, the way that stories play out specific subgenres, it's the same story told over and over and over again, just in a different place with different clothes on. You know, it really is. And if you can learn those typical elements within a specific subgenre, you can write great stories that will be really eagerly accepted by that readership.
Is that what you call your five stone framework?
The five stone framework that I speak of in the Christian Creative Academy is more about certain elements that I found we can put in place that help us topple our giants. And the idea of the five stone framework comes from the story of King David way before he was king. And he goes out to, you know, deliver a box of sandwiches to his brothers on the battle lines. Goliath comes out from the Philistine crowd and begins hounding God's people. And David's like, man, who is this dude? We're the children of God. Who is he to stand against men and women of covenant like we are? And he, as the story is so kind of famous, but he goes to the river and he pulls five smooth stones out of the river. Now, my understanding is that the Bible teaches that Goliath had four brothers as well. So I guess that, like, David just thought, just in case his brothers turn up, I'll make sure I've got a stone for each. But the idea of the five stone framework in the context of what I do is that I believe that there are five things that are necessary to make sure that we can topple the giants that will stand up and try and back us off back into the crowd, try and silence us and keep our creativity just kind of safely hidden away. And those five stones, first is faith. Now, obviously, we've spoken about that being the foundation for everything. We want to be acting on the word of God. We want to be living according to values that run deep. You know, you're not going to find me publishing an erotic series of books because it just doesn't build on the foundation that I live my life by, even though you can make a lot of money doing that. You know, you're not going to find me creating some spammy product that promises, like, in the click of a button, you can make, you know, your overnight million.
Yeah.
knowing full well that that is not going to happen, and, you know, bragging about the million I've made selling a spammy product that told people how to make a million, you know, it just doesn't build on the right foundation.
Right. Amen.
So faith is that Jesus first, everything follows. And then there's inspiration, which is really where my understanding of inspiration is literally means the breathing of God, the breath of God coming into us. So it's that foundation of fellowship with the Holy Spirit, that we have a partnership, a creative partnership with the Creator himself, who is, and I love what it says in the book of John. It says he's with us and he's in us.
Yeah. Amen.
There's just something so beautiful about that. I mean, it's like outside, inside, wherever you go, he is there as our helper. And that doesn't mean that he just helps you when you're sat in the pew at church to remember the words to the next hymn. Mm-hmm. He wants to help you in every endeavor. Lord, help me to write a book. Lord, help me to create a podcast. Lord, help me to take this idea and figure out how I can make it into something I can share with other people. And so that the foundations, that's the second stone is inspiration. And then there's education, because we can be inspired to do something like, as we were talking, you know, the Holy Ghost had said to you, you know, start this radio station. And you know, your next question is like, well, yes, Lord, you know, I'll do it, but how? You know, how do I do that? You know, like, and you know, so we need that stone of education. So instead of being caught in the headlights thinking, I don't know how, we can learn, we can grow. And having that kind of growth mindset that says, you know, if God has spoken this, he has not spoken it so I can just fall into a hole and scratch my head for the rest of my days.
Exactly.
I can actually do this, mm-hmm. you know, but I do need to upskill. I do need to invest in my own growth and education. Amen. The fourth stone, so that's the third stone. The fourth stone is then application, because it's only what you do with what you know that makes a difference. You know, it's the doers of the word who are blessed.
Amen.
Hearers only.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
There's perpetual,
so
we can become perpetual learners, but really you're in no better position than someone who knows nothing if you don't do something with what you know. Mm. And sometimes it's better just to remain really focused. And instead of jumping from one thing to another, say, I'm going to learn this. I'm going to do this, and I'm actually going to make this happen so I can find out what it's really all about. And in that process, we actually turn education into something far more beneficial for us and the people that we're called to reach.
Amen.
And then the fifth stone, and again, we alluded to this, from the Genesis, from the creation story, is the fifth stone is celebration. Because I just think it's so important, number one, to be grateful for where we're at and the things that we're able to do now. You know, wherever we're at, you know, we may not be this big thing over here, or we may be aspiring to something far greater than we presently are and are experiencing, but that's no reason for us not to be thankful and grateful. And then as well, the celebration stone is really to, like God did, kind of when we do see a win, when we do create something of worth, that we have the decency to stand back for a moment and say, hey, Robert, you did a great job. Hey, David, you did a great job. And certainly in the early days, right, there's often no one else standing back telling you that.
That's right.
It's really part of the entrepreneurial mindset and fabric that we need to weave in, is that we actually are in a humble way, of course, you know, not just kind of bragging on ourselves, but we're not reluctant to say, hey, that's really good.
Amen. Amen. You know, some people, they have a book inside of them, but they don't know how to get it out. How do you recommend someone proceed in that aspect, especially if they don't know how to write a book?
Yeah. I mean, my biggest wins have not come through some kind of zap from the ether, you know, like sat there waiting, hey, God, make me write a book. God's not going to make us do anything, but he will put his hand on ours if we begin to actually put it to use. And I found that the biggest key to actually bringing any project to fruition, whether it's a book or some other creative kind of endeavor, is it's the daily habits that lead to the biggest wins. Okay. And so if you've got a book inside of you, don't wait until you feel you are ready to write the book, or you know every part of that book. You've already in your mind written the end before you've even started Once Upon a Time. You know, the happy ever after will inevitably come, but you don't start with that. You start with in the beginning, Once Upon a Time, or whatever else, however that first line starts. And that being willing to sit down and close your ears to all of the voices that say, this is such a small thing. This is not even worth, who would ever listen to you? Who would ever want to read what you write, etc.? You've got to just close all of those out and just begin putting your fingers to the keyboard or your pen to the paper. And I found like it's surprising. I think I worked out if you write just 500 words a day, and you keep up that process for a whole year, by the end of the year, you've written like over 182,500 words.
Wow.
Well, if you kind of do like I do and love short books, that's 18 books.
Wow. Amen. Yeah.
That's 18 10,000 word books.
Amen.
And so the 500 words a day is achievable for anyone. And as well, like, any process, like any skill, you learn by exercising that skill. You're not going to become a great writer by reading books about being a great writer. You're going to become and all of that can be helpful. All of that has value. You're going to become a great writer by, and like I'm sure your listeners can fill in the blank there,
amen,
by actually writing.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of this fascinating interview with David Lee Martin. And I pray that you're finding some encouraging information from this interview. I mean, David has been able to generate a 7-figure income from just publishing his works on Amazon. And he's been sharing with us today how you, me, and other believers have these types of books inside of us right now. I mean, we have a sort of creative DNA from God, and that makes sense since we are created in his image. Amen. Go down to the show notes, click the links, get in touch with David, check out his works, order his books. I mean, you are here just in time for the Christmas shopping season as this is being published. Praise God. Take advantage of it. Buy a couple of these books. Use them yourself. Pass them out as gifts. And you want to know the amazing part? This was just part two of a great 3-part interview. So be sure you come back for the conclusion of this great interview with David Lee Martin. Till next time, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.